Thank you for staying on with me on Niaga Awani. We'll continue with international news. A gauge of global stocks retreated yesterday after six sessions of gains, while U.S. Treasury yields rose ahead of central bank policy announcements and data that may shed light on whether progress has been made in bringing down inflation. Investors widely expect the Federal Reserve will raise rates by 25 basis points on Wednesday, with announcements on Thursday from the Bank of England and European Central Bank, both of which are largely expected to hike by 50 basis points. On Wall Street, U.S. stocks slumped, with 10 of the 11 S&P sectors closing lower, while Johnson & Johnson lost 3.7% after a U.S. court rejected the company's plan to offload into bankruptcy tens of thousands of lawsuits over its talc products. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 260.99 points, or 0.77%. The S&P 500 lost 52.79 points, or 1.3%. And the Nasdaq Composite dropped 227.90 points, or 1.96%. The Pan-European Stocks 600 Index lost 0.17%, and MSCI's gauge of stocks across the globe shed 0.99%. MSCI's index was on track for its biggest January percentage gain since 2019, while the Stocks 600 was poised for its largest January percentage gain since 2015. India is considering a number of tariffs and non-tariff steps to cut imports of non-essential consumer and electric goods, including from China, as trade imbalances concern policymakers, two government officials and industry sources said. As many as 18 key government ministries led by the Federal Trade Ministry met last week to firm up steps first aimed at cutting imports from China, which accounts for nearly a third of India's trade deficit. India has been trying to reduce its trade deficit with China since 2020, when border tensions flared along a contested frontier, but with little success, as the country is a key and cheap supplier of goods, including active pharmaceutical ingredients, electrical equipment and several chemicals. The trade gap with China widened 28% in April till December 2022 from the same period a year earlier, as India's domestic demand continued to support Chinese imports, while COVID lockdowns in China crimped imports from India. The government is considering ramping up investigations to weed out unfair practices on a wide array of imports from China and elsewhere, one of the officials said, without specifying which goods or what the unfair practices were. If a trading partner were found to have engaged in unfair practices, it would be necessary to introduce safeguards such as the imposition of anti-dumping duties. On a separate news, Iran and Russia have connected their interbank communication and transfer systems to help boost trade and financial transactions, as both Tehran and Moscow are chafing under Western sanctions. Since the 2018 reimposition of U.S. sanctions on Iran after Washington ditched Tehran's 2015 nuclear deal with world powers, the Islamic Republic has been disconnected from the Belgium-based SWIFT financial messaging service, which is a key international banking access point. Similar limitations have been slapped on some Russian banks since Moscow's invasion of Ukraine last year. Since the start of the Ukraine war, Tehran and Moscow have acted to forge close bilateral ties as both capitals attempt to build new economic and diplomatic partnerships elsewhere. With deepening economic misery, largely because of U.S. sanctions over Tehran's disputed nuclear work, many Iranians are feeling the pain of galloping inflation and rising joblessness. Facing their worst legitimacy crisis amid months of anti-government protests sparked by the death in custody of a young woman, Iranian authorities fear economic isolation and lack of economic improvement could lead to more unrest. The Russian government yesterday banned domestic oil exporters and customs bodies from adhering to Western imposed price caps on Russian crude. The measure was issued to help enforce President Vladimir Putin's decree of December 27th that prohibited the supply of crude oil and oil products from February 1st for 5 months to nations that abide by the caps. The G7 economies, the European Union and Australia agreed on December 5th to ban the use of Western-supplied maritime insurance, finance and brokering for seaborne Russian oil priced above $60 per barrel as part of Western sanctions on Moscow over its actions in Ukraine. The new Russian Act bans corporates and individuals from including oil price cap mechanisms in their contracts. They also have to report to customs officials and the Energy Ministry any attempts to impose oil price caps. In addition, customs bodies have to prevent goods from leaving Russia if they find such mechanisms have been applied. The European Union has appointed gas capacity platform Prisma to calculate countries' collective demand for gas as the bloc moves ahead with a plan to launch joint gas buying among EU countries. The European Commission hopes joint gas buying will help Europe to refill depleted storage caverns before next winter and to negotiate lower prices by using EU countries' collective buying power. The European Commission last week signed a contract with Prisma, which is the EU's largest capacity booking platform for gas transmission. Prisma will be responsible for grouping together countries' gas import needs and seeking offers from gas suppliers to match those volumes. Brussels wants countries to start their first joint gas purchases before summer and publish the amount of gas countries want to buy jointly in early spring to attract supply offers. EU countries must ensure their local companies take part in the aggregation of gas demand with volumes equivalent to 15% of the gas needed to fill that country's storage facilities to 90% of capacity. Some EU officials have said certain large energy companies have expressed reluctance to join since they can already negotiate their own gas deals and doubt the EU scheme will yield lower prices. Twitter Incorporated has made its first interest payment under Elon Musk after the billionaire took the social media company private last year using about $12.5 billion of debt. Bloomberg News reported on Monday, citing people with knowledge of the matter. Twitter paid a group of seven banks led by Morgan Stanley, which became stuck with the debt after they were unable to sell it to outside investors. Twitter, Musk and Morgan Stanley did not immediately respond to Reuters' request for comment. Apart from the funds borrowed from a syndicate of banks, including Morgan Stanley and Bank of America Corporation, the Tesla boss has also offloaded shares in the electric vehicle maker to fund his $44 billion takeover of Twitter. Since Musk took charge of the social media platform in October, he has focused on reducing costs by laying off half the workforce and introducing new plans for Twitter Blue subscription service, which offers the sought-after-verified badge. Twitter has also seen advertisers flee amid worries about Musk's approach to content moderation rules impacting its revenue. Musk in November also pointed out that Twitter had seen a massive drop in revenue and blamed activist groups for pressuring advertisers. China's BYD Co., the world's biggest seller of battery electric vehicles, or BEVs, and plug-in hybrids, expects its 2022 net profit to be more than five times the amount it booked a year earlier. With sales of 1.86 million cars, it expects a net profit of 16 to 17 billion yuan versus a 3 billion in 2021. The company said it achieved strong sales growth and significantly improved profitability and had effectively relieved the cost pressure brought about by the rising upstream raw material prices. The Shenzhen-based automaker stopped producing combustion engine vehicles last April. Sales of its Qin-enhanced sedans by BYD's best-selling models increased by 82.6% and 132.2% respectively in 2022, while those of Tesla's Model 3 fell by 17.5%. BYD still trails Tesla in terms of global sales of fully electric cars by almost 400,000 units, though the Chinese company is planning to ramp up sales quickly at home and abroad with its new series of BEV products, such as its SEAL model. All right, that is all for today's Niagawani. I'm Nabila Khalida. Till next time, bye.